This is a very, very exciting day for the Philadelphia Eagles. Exciting day for our city, and I think a very exciting day for the millions of Eagles fans across the country. It's been a really excellent process. Conducted a two-week search for really the person that's going to lead the football team for a long time. A careful, targeted process. I want to say one thing. We had an amazing experience interviewing some incredible football minds that are dedicated to this business. I can't tell you how impressed I was with so many candidates that we interviewed, and we leave it with tremendous respect. I also want to thank Howie and Don, because to have two very experienced and savvy NFL people around me throughout this process, where you're trying to conduct really incisive and lengthy and detailed interviews to really make great decisions, and at the same time to have patience. As I said when we entered this process, the whole key was to try to find the right leader, not to make the fastest decision. And as it stands in the NFL anyway, you take 2 weeks, and you know, some people think that's a long time. That's a very, very short time when you're trying to decide on who the leader of your football organization is going to be. So that being said, we really were able to circle back with Coach Chip Kelly, and we had an outstanding interview with him on January 5th at the Four Seasons Hotel in Scottsdale, and it lasted, I think, about 9 hours, and it was just incredibly impressive. We had, of course, studied Chip for a long, long time, as many, I'm sure, in this room have, and everything we had ever heard was just so true. But you never know until you really meet the person and understand their personality and their obsession with football and their football intellect, their overall intellect, and their strategy and vision going forward. It was an outstanding 9 hours. We learned a lot, and we always had the idea that we were going to maintain a strong relationship with Chip no matter what. We were told that by the end of, I think, the same day, that it was really a question, simple question for Chip. He was either going to come to the Philadelphia Eagles or he was going to go back to Oregon. And that was really it. And at that point, we learned, I think the next day, he was probably going to go back to the University of Oregon. But we kept in touch. And I got to give Howie a lot of credit, because Howie and Chip have mutual friends, and they kind of alerted us the fact that, you know, this was a great match and Chip was really torn. And things kind of reached a crescendo in some fashion about 48 hours ago, and we were really committed to seeing whether we could welcome Chip as our new head coach. So with that, I'm going to allow you all to welcome Chip as the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's a really exciting time for me. It was a difficult decision, but you know, when I first met with Jeffrey and Don and Howie in Phoenix, the passion for this franchise was very, very evident to me. And obviously, there's not many opportunities to coach in the National Football League. There's 32 opportunities. And it's a special situation. But I think, you know, in meeting with these three guys, it was very evident to me. It's an iconic franchise with a passionate owner and great people in this company. And that's the thing that struck me. And I probably took a long time with this decision, and probably a lot longer than some other people probably wanted me to take. But I think for me, I've always coached and I've always been involved in this game because of the people. And it really had nothing to do, I knew what this place was all about, and it really, it's where I wanted to be. But I love my players, and we had a great culture at Oregon. I have an unbelievable coaching staff that has been together since I took over as a head coach, and it was really knowns versus unknowns. And for me, it was just very, very difficult to say goodbye to a bunch of men that I truly love and respect. The way our players handled it when I talked to them the other day was nothing short of amazing to me. I probably cried more than they did. But they just wanted the best for me, just what I wanted for them. But I knew this was a place for me. It was just trying to figure out a way to do it the right way. And I wanted to be the first to tell my players. And I think a lot of guys want to know how this came out of left field. But, again, I want to tell you how impressed I was with both Howie and Jeffrey that allowed me to do this in a manner where my players were going to find out from me firsthand, and it wasn't going to be something that they saw on a Twitter account or saw on a local TV station. That part's extremely important to me. The game of football to me is always about relationships, and the game of football to me is about people, and you win because you have great people. I had great people at Oregon, and it took a real special opportunity for me to leave them, and I'm excited about it. I think from the top on down, every person I've met in the last about 24 hours since I've been here has been nothing short of amazing. Had a chance to visit with a couple players already today. I'm excited. I know about the fan base in Philadelphia, and that excites me. When I was at the University of New Hampshire, I had from South Jersey to Harrisburg, and I spent every December, January, and May in this area. I know that the second most important bowl besides the Super Bowl, which is my goal, is the Wing Bowl. I am not going to participate, but I understand what this city's all about. And I'm just glad that I got an opportunity to be here. And one person that I really want to thank in terms of advice in this whole thing was Andy Reid. And the fact that Andy reached out to me and told me about his experience here just told me what this organization's all about. There's not a classier guy. When Andy texted me yesterday when I accepted the job, I told him I had really, really, really big shoes to fill. And in typical Andy fashion, he said, just be yourself and you'll be fine. So I want to publicly just thank Andy because, that really right there spoke to me about what this organization is all about. So I'm excited to be an Eagle and excited to get started, and we're ready to go.
Ruben Frank, Comcast Sportsnet here in Philly. You're the first coach in about 12 years to come to the NFL with no coaching or playing experience in the league. What gives you the confidence that you can make the adjustments necessary to make it work in this level?
Football is football. And this is football at its highest level. But it's still a game that's played 11-on-11. It's about putting together a great coaching staff, having a great organization behind you, and having great players. And ultimately, whether it's in high school football, college football, professional football, it's a personnel-driven operation. And I know, and the experience I've had is trying to figure out is any way we can to put our players in the best situation when they have an opportunity to be successful. And that's what this game comes down to. Are there a lot more cameras around?
Yep.
But that's what this deal is all about. But it's still the game of football. It's X's and O's, and I understand that aspect of it.
Coach Merle Reese, CBS Radio. How far are you in the process of trying to put together a staff?
Right in the middle of it. Started making some phone calls last night. There's obviously a lot of protocol that goes on in terms of asking for permission from other organizations for people that are under contract. So we're right in the middle of that. And that's really been my first order of business since I arrived here. So.
Paul Jolowitz, WIP Radio. Chip, 6 years ago when you were in New Hampshire, could you ever envision this quickly being an NFL head coach and sitting up with Jeffrey Lurie today?
I actually did. No, I'm joking. Absolutely no idea that this was going to happen. And I believed, and I had a coach that is actually the head coach at Allegheny College, Mark Matlack, and something he told me a long, long time ago was the big time is where you're at. And if you just do your job every single day, come with a passion, appreciate where you are, good things are going to happen to you. So did I have, I don't think anybody envisioned this, so I didn't. But I'm excited about the opportunity, and I'm here, so you're stuck with me. So.
Chip, Sal Palantonio from ESPN, how you doing? I'm good, Chip, when you look around this room, you see larger-than-life photographs of Chuck Pignarik and Reggie White. What is it about you that you can continue the great tradition of the Philadelphia Eagles?
That's a great question. You know, and I think that's something that is extremely important to me because of the history and the tradition here. You know, from Tommy McDonald to Chuck Bednarik to Reggie, there's been some unbelievable people here. And I think I have a saying that I learned a long time ago that is, you know, we can see farther than other people right now because we stand on the shoulders of the people that came before us. And when you just walk into this building and you see these pictures, it really kind of makes you do a double take, but it also makes you understand that every day you come to work, there's a standard of excellence that this organization stands for, and that I got to hold that up, and I got to live up to that every single day, and it kind of keeps you on your toes, and makes you understand that what this place is all about, and that's what excites me. I don't know what the future holds from that standpoint, but I know that this organization is one of the top organizations in all of sports, not just football, and I don't take that responsibility lightly.
Hey, Chip, Les Bowen. Good to
see you
again, Les. Yes, come on out there. How'd you enjoy
the festival? Very much, sure.
Thanks.
I think everybody wants to know about your offense and transitioning it to the NFL, what you think of Nick Foles, if he could run your offensive concepts, and so on like that.
Yeah, I'll say this about, you know, I think there's two things. There's perception and there's reality. You know, the perception is that we run our quarterback all the time and this is what we do. The reality is that's not the case. You know, one of the best qualities in a quarterback is durability, you know, and a lot of that has to do with play calling. Our quarterback is not going to get the direct snap like Dick Kazmaier did at Princeton in the single wing and have him run it 25 times, I can tell you that. Part of what we do offensively has always been understanding what personnel is. And then how do we maximize that? And what are their best traits? You know, and if you're going to ask someone to do something that they're not capable of doing, then, you know, obviously that's a recipe for disaster. So, you know, going to analyze everybody that's in our program. And our scheme offensively, defensively, special teams-wise is always going to be personnel-driven. So a lot of coaches have great ideas, but we're not playing the game. The players are playing the game, and it's about putting them in situations where they can be successful. So our offense is always going to be tailored to who's playing. You know, in terms of Nick, I know him because we played against him. I'm a huge fan of his. He's tough, you know, and it's an attribute that I think a lot of people don't understand of how hard it is and what toughness means to the quarterback spot. You know, to just be able to stand in the pocket and throw the football. You know, we hit him as many times as we could hit him, and he just kept getting up, making plays. He completed a 13-yard pass left-handed against us once, and I remember just standing on the sideline shaking my head going, I don't know what we have to do to stop him. But he's a competitor. He's accurate. So I'm excited about that, and I'm excited for everybody in this program. I want to take a look at all of our personnel and try to make an opinion of what I think of them after seeing them on tape, but I don't have any preconceived notions because I don't think, you know, that's the way to go about it. So I'm in the process of studying everybody that we got on the team right now and looking at the film and making an evaluation of what direction we're going to head here. So.
Hey, Chip. Bob Groats, Delaware County Daily Times. Welcome. Having said all that about the offense and the quarterback position, is a guy like Michael Vick, a veteran who's been around, off the top of your head, is there still a place for him in say, like your offense? How are you going to deal with that?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to look at everybody. If you can throw the ball and run, I'll take you out there. You know, I don't know if you're the next Vince Papale, but I'll tell you right now, we're going to look at everything we can do to put the best product on the field, and that's what it's all about. And I've followed Michael's career. I understand what a talent he is, but there's nothing that's on the board right now. There's nothing that's off the board right now. You know, our sole focus and goal is that we're going to put an offense on the field that's got to score points, and that's basically what we're going to do. And whoever that is, I don't know that. You know, I got to make – you know, get our staff together, make that evaluation of who it is and how we get that personnel out there. But, you know, there's nobody ruled in, there's nobody ruled out at this point in time.
Chip, Matt Lombardo from 97.5 The Fanatic and TakeItToTheHouse.com. Coming off of a 4-12 season, there was a lot of finger pointing with some of the veteran players in terms of maybe not getting maximum effort down the stretch of the year. What's your message to your players and how do you intend to change the culture in the locker room?
I can't speak to anything that went on before here because I wasn't here, so my message to our players, I've had a chance to meet a few of them, is you know, we have one goal, and our goal is to get to the Super Bowl. And we're going to find a bunch of guys that are like-minded individuals that understand that the game of football is played by everybody. It's not an ideal. It's a team deal. And that's the thing. And you study the teams that win, whether it's at the high school level, the collegiate level, or in the National Football League, it's the best team wins, not the team with the most talented players. And we're going to surround ourselves with the best team. And that's our charge as a coaching staff, and we understand that. And our players will certainly understand that when I get a chance to and an opportunity to meet with those guys.
Coach, Michael DeLonge, already in Pennsylvania with the Philadelphia. What was it about the Eagles in terms of the setup here that made you decide this was the right thing for you after first? You mentioned you had some difficulties, you know, making the move. What finally said this was the right move for you?
The people in the organization, you know, as I said earlier, the hardest thing for me to leave Oregon was because of the people. And for me to leave, there had to be people here. And you know, in the time I met with Jeffrey and Howie and Don, it was, you know, very evident to me of their passion, very evident to me of their commitment. And that was a no-brainer, you know. So I knew it was a great fit from the Saturday we had the meeting. It was just, can I leave what I have, you know? And it's, you know, it's sometimes you have to leave the nest to better yourself, or leave one nest as a duck and go to another nest as an eagle. But I think the people in this organization, it just, and when an Andy Reid tells me what it's like here, and Dick Vermeil, who I had a chance to speak with, you know, and it's, there's a lot of people that I spoke with, and every single person just came back, kept saying the same things about the organization. So, again, my decision was based on nothing to do with any trepidation about this organization. I wanted to be here. It was just, you know, my players, and I'm not going to get emotional again, but, I mean, I love those guys, and I love our staff. And the people at Oregon gave me an opportunity when I was at New Hampshire, and that meant a lot to me. So it had to be something special for me to leave. So,
Chip, John Clark with NBC 10. Over the last couple of years, you've obviously thought about making the jump. We've seen some college coaches in the past when the going got tough in the NFL, they went back to college. For anybody that would question your commitment, what do you say about your level of commitment to making this jump?
I'm all in, you know. I think it was Cortez who burned the boats. So I burned the boats. I'm not going back. So, you know, I'm in. I'm an NFL coach, and this is where I want to be. And if there was any indecision in terms of I didn't want to be in, then I wouldn't have made that. I wouldn't have made the jump. But, you know, I made the jump, and I'm here, and I'm excited to be here.
Hey, Chip, Zach from the Philadelphia Inquirer. What's your role in putting the roster together, acquiring personnel, and who's going to have final say in that process?
My role is right now is clearly defining what we want, you know, and just what is a cornerback? What are we looking for? Well, you know, what's the height? What's the weight? What's the speed? What's the makeup of each individual position here? And then in collaboration with everybody, you know, not one person can do it all. And you know, I mean, I've heard questions about that. I want control over this, control over that. That has never been an issue, never is an issue for me. I'm a football coach, you know, and I'm not a general manager. I'm not a salary cap guy. I coach football, and I need people that can go out there and say, hey, this is what you want. These are these people, and it's going to be a collaboration. You know, we're all going to be on the same page, but it's I got no delusions of saying that, you know, I want all these different titles. I just want to coach football.
Yeah.
Chip, welcome to Philadelphia. Jeff Skaversky, 6ABC. When you look at this roster, whether it's Michael Vick, whether it's Nick Foles as your quarterback, when you look up and down this roster for a team that is struggling, do you think they have the players right now, right here, that can win?
I'm still in the process of evaluating that, but the one thing that attracts me about the roster is the youth. It's one of the youngest teams in the league. You got to watch about three plays to understand the speed, you know, and youth and speed are two things you can't coach. So I'm excited about that. But I believe we can win, you know, but it's a matter of really, you know, I'm not a guy that's making predictions, I can tell you that. So I'm not giving you a number, or I'm not giving you where we're going. I'm about the process, and I'm about going through everything deliberately. And I enjoy the process. I embrace the process. So, you know, really taking our time and making a thorough evaluation of who's on our roster, what can we do to upgrade this roster, and can't wait to get these guys in OTAs and get going.
Chip, Chip, hey, Jeff McLean from the Philadelphia Inquirer, right here in the front row.
Hi, Chip.
Hey,
gentlemen.
I'm
good.
As an offensive-minded coach, how involved will you be in defense? And can you tell us what kind of defensive coordinator you're going to have, what kind of defense do you have, and do you want to switch to a 3-4?
I'm involved in everything in this football program from a football standpoint. So what do we do on defense? What do we do on special teams? What are we doing offensively? You know, who we're putting in situations to make plays. That's all part of it. But specifically on game day, I don't believe you can have someone micromanaging you. You know, when I was an offensive coordinator, I was fortunate that when I was an offensive coordinator, two head coaches that I coached for allowed me to work. You know, we'll have discussions during the week about where we're going with things, but on game day, you know, those guys have to be able to not worry about who's second-guessing them and who's over their shoulder. And if I do have to second-guess them and do have to be over the shoulder, then I hired the wrong person. So in terms of what do we want to be, we're going to be an attacking-style defense. You know, it's going to be a group of people that dictates the tempo of the game. What that spacing is in terms of, is it a 4-3 spacing, 3-4 spacing? I think it's, again, looking at our roster and understanding who we have the opportunity to bring in here. So, you know, I can't tell you that, hey, we're going to be this or we're going to be that. No, but I know the style of football that we want to play, and I know the type of football players that I want to have out there. You know, they're going to play fast, and they're going to play hard, and we're going to finish plays.
Mark.
Chip, Martin Frank, Wilmington News Journal. I kind of want to ask you something along the lines of defense, like just kind of what your background is defensively and how much you have to convince, you know, Jeffrey Dunn and Howie about your ability to coach defense.
I understand defense. I started out in college on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I think it helps you to get a great feel for what goes on that side of the ball, what goes on the offensive side of the ball. I was fortunate early in my coaching career to coach a lot of different positions. You know, I never it wasn't totally by design, but I never wanted to just get pigeonholed as I'm a this. You know, I just consider myself a football coach, and I got a passion for the game. I got a thirst for the game, and it helped me, you know, and the better that I understand it, starting off on defense helped me become a better offensive coach because I understand what's being taught over there. So I feel like I've got a pretty good, well-rounded background from that standpoint, both offensively and defensively and special teams.
Hi, Coach. You're Nick here from the Altab Morning Call. What's your feeling on going away to training camp the way Andy used to do it, and plan to keep on going to
We're already in training camp. I'm getting through Thursday, you know, but there's a lot of things. There's a lot of pluses. There's a lot of pluses to it that, you know, but I know how to get to my office. I know how to turn the computer on and watch film, and I'm going step by step. So, you know, how that works, where that works, what that whole operation is. There are obviously things, there's a lot of things we got to do, but it's kind of like Smokey and the Bandit. You know, there's a lot of work to do in a short time to get there. So we're going to figure all that stuff out. But we haven't had any discussions about that right now. So.
Yeah. Hey, Jim. Can you fill in some blanks a little bit? I'm sorry, Jeff Mosher from Carpenter Sports Center. Just fill in some blanks. After you decided to go back to Oregon, how long it took you to realize maybe you actually did then want to go to the NFL, and kind of why it was communicated back to the Eagles through an intermediate coach or somebody else, and instead of just calling up Howie and saying, or Jeffrey and saying, I changed my mind?
Yeah, I mean, first off, it was a very difficult decision for me. And playing the Fiesta Bowl, I made a commitment that I was not going to talk to anybody until after we played the game. And my ultimate goal was to, you know, for our guys, was, you know, we weren't going to get distracted from that. And I think our players handled that really well. And then in, you know, 36 hours, I met with three great organizations. And then it was more my timetable than anybody else's timetable. I'm sure Jeffrey obviously would have given me a little bit more time. He actually asked me to think about it, and you know, when I hung up the phone, I said I would, but I'm not stringing anybody on, and I didn't. You know, this whole thing was a very public thing, you know, and I'm not a very public guy. So part of that was an interesting thing for me, but you know, I made my decision, and I was comfortable in terms of it because of where I was going back to, you know, and if the worst thing in my life was that I was going to be the head football coach at the University of Oregon, I think a lot of people would trade places with me because it's a really, really, really special place. So, you know, I was
going back, working, doing those things, and then asked just to think about it again. You know, and I know Jeffrey and Howie had reached out, talked to my agent, you know, just said that, you know, they'd still be interested. And all I said at that point in time was I'd think about it. You know, and I think actually in hindsight it benefited me because I wasn't under the microscope. I wasn't kind of, you know, do I have to make a decision now? Do I have a timetable? And when I did talk to Jeffrey, you know, I said, for me, I want to come, but I want to do this the right way. And I wanted, to me, it was about how do I handle the people back at the University of Oregon, and how do, as I go through this process, if I'm going to leave, what's the scenario that my players hear it from me? They're not going to hear it from somebody else, you know. I think people used to say we live in the information age. I think maybe we live in the information overload age now. So it's tough, but there's a very, very human side to the game of football, and that's what attracts me to it. And it was more of me making a human decision of that I'm going to look my players in the eye, and I'm going to be the first to tell them, you know, how much they meant to me and how the reason I got this job is because of them. You know, and I certainly understand that. You know, if we were 7-46 over the last 4 years, people aren't talking to me. But I've never taken a snap. I've never played a down. I had a group of kids there that meant a lot to me, and it told me a lot about this organization that they let me do that. And the fact that no one knew about what was going on and they gave me time to think just told me more about what a special place this was. And then this is what I want to be, and this is why I want to be in this organization, because they do things the right way.
Bart, how about with the New York Post? Did the ongoing continued investigation into Oregon program factor into your change of heart at all?
No, not at all. It didn't. We fully have cooperated with them and will continue to fully cooperate with them. And that did have no factor in my decision.
Vogel, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Questions actually for Jeffrey. What about that nine-hour meeting convinced you that Chip was the right guy?
Oh, several factors. That nine-hour meeting was memorable. Tremendous obsession for football, outstanding work ethic, ability to relate and communicate, intellect off the charts, you know, forward thinking, not just about what he was running now at Oregon, but where the league was headed, where college is headed, how there's going to be counter trends, how there are going to be reactions to those counter trends. Just somebody who was not only on the cutting edge of football today, but saw that there's going to be reactions to that and what to do going way past that. And also somebody who was a program builder, and that was important. We always wanted the best possible leader, and Chip was brought everyone together at Oregon culturally, preparing in terms of preparing themselves to be the best football players they can be organizationally. He just had it all. So after those 9 hours, it was pretty clear what we had in Chip Kelly.
Hey, Chip. Paul Domowich from the Daily News. Tony Dungy said in an interview this morning on radio that he thought the playoff success of quarterbacks like Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson might have helped change your mind about coming to the NFL. Is that true? And also, how excited are you about employing some of your offensive concepts at this level?
That didn't – I mean, obviously, those guys – we played against Russell in the Rose Bowl a year ago and know what a talent he is. And obviously, I have a couple of my former players, Michael James and Will Tukwafa, are on the 49ers team. And I know Jimmy real well, so I follow their organization. So, but that's not a determining factor for me. And again, I'm not married to do we have to do this. You know, I guess the best way for me is I'm an equal opportunity and scorer. So we'll score any way we can, you know, and it's all based on what our personnel is. So I'm not married to trying to take a quarterback who can't run and make him run, or take a quarterback who can't throw and make him throw. It's put your players in the best position where they have an opportunity to be successful, and how do we score points? And that's what the game of offensive football is all about, is scoring points. And how they get the ball across the line, that's not the deal. It's not about style. It's about substance, and it's how are we going to score points.
Hey, Chip, Derek Gunn from Comcast Sports Network back here. When you look at the success teams like the Colts, the 49ers, and the Seahawks have had in a short amount of time under new leadership, how much added pressure is that putting on you to accomplish what you want to accomplish here?
I don't compare myself to anybody else. You know, there's no more pressure than anybody can put on me than me. You know, I've always been that way. So, you know, I've always been really good at outside influences don't affect me from the term standpoint of that, well, because someone says that I have to do something, then I have to actually try harder. You know, I try to take this term that praise and blame is all the same. And if you pay attention to outside expectations, that means that you value their opinion more than you value your own. And no one has higher expectations for me than me. So, but I also know it's not me. And I don't like using me's and I's and those things. It's we's. And that's what makes this game great, because it takes everybody. And you know, it's just evident from walking around this building that everybody has got an energy to them, got a bounce to them. And the four guys I've met so far, I've been really, really impressed with. So it's a we deal. And it's about us getting our mind, our focus, and our attention going in the right direction.
Coach, Chris Murray, Philadelphia Sunday, and the Chris Murray Report. The spread option offense is becoming more and more popular around the league, and even Bill Belichick has said he's talked to you about how he employs, you know, in his own situation. What makes this offense such a dangerous offense, especially when have guys like a Colin Kaepernick or Russell Wilson, you know, playing at that position?
Good question. I guess the one thing is that people want to paint a brush and label an offense in one word. What Bill does in New England with Tom Brady is not a spread option offense. If someone tried to make Tommy run the zone read, I think you'd get fired, to be honest with you. You need him to sit back in a pocket and throw the ball. He's one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks ever. So there's a lot of different facets. And for us, it's about what tools do we have in our toolbox and what tools can we use based on the players that we have. So, you know, I think what Jim Harbaugh's done in San Francisco, or Pete did at Seattle, is that they identified the strengths of Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, and they played to him. Mike Shanahan did the same thing with RG3, and they played to their strengths. You know, it's no different than what the Colts did with Andrew Luck. It's no different than what Denver's doing with Peyton Manning. It's no different than what the Patriots do with Tom Brady, is that – you know, any great coach identifies what their personnel is and then puts them in positions to be successful. And you get a wide variety of talent at the quarterback spot and those guys I just mentioned. But I think every team, when you look at them and really truly study them, is they're putting their guys in positions where they can be successful. And what they do in one offense is, you know, drastically different than what they do in another. And I guess it's trying to paint a brush and say that all those guys are doing the same thing. It's not. You know, some people it's a pace. Some people it's a run scheme. Some people, it's how they're throwing the ball. You know, there's a lot of different components to it. But, again, for us, it's in how we will approach it here is we're going to put our players in the best position to score points.
Okay. Last question.
Hey, Tim McManus from 97.5 in Philadelphia Magazine. As you're getting accustomed to the NFL, who are you going to lean on, and should we expect maybe a more veteran assistant staff as you kind of learn the ropes?
We're going to, for me, put the best staff possible together that has the same exact vision that I have. And I believe alignment's huge. You know, and we all have to understand what our vision is, how we want this football team to look like, and then coach it like that every single day. And obviously, you got to rely on people that have been there before that can kind of show you the ropes and understand that. So is there one particular person? No, I think it's a collaboration and a collective group. And that's what we're in the middle of the process doing right now, putting together, you know, what in my opinion, and really has to be my opinion, of what is the best staff that's going to coach in the vision that I have for us to be successful.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is head coach Chip Kelly, chairman, CEO.